Greet someone to your left or your right. Look across at someone and welcome them to church today. And it'll buy me a moment to welcome the online community. Thank you for making time to worship Jesus with us. We're going to grow in our faith together today. If you have your Bible with you in church, I hope that every Sunday, one way or the other, you do to follow along in the Word of God, to allow the Word of God to speak to you, to follow along in the notes that are available on the YouVersion app or the Rev City app, to just allow the Lord to just speak directly to your heart and to penetrate your heart with what he desires to do in you and through you. Today, if you'll turn first to Lamentations chapter 3, don't worry, we won't be in that book very long. We'll turn to Joshua chapter 3 after that. As we continue in the book of Joshua, looking at this journey to the promised land. And last week we talked about Jericho, this fortified city that was fortified by at least two walls that were 30 feet high and 15 feet wide and stood in the way of the progress towards the promised land. And we looked at how the Lord gave them a plan for how to get beyond the opposition that stood in their way towards the place that God had for them. And I've encouraged us to seek God for the plan. He's got a plan for how to get you through and see you to the promise that he has for you. The plan is not always going to line up with what we prefer, what we think, what we've previously experienced. In the book of Joshua chapter 6, we saw this play out as the Lord came to Joshua and said, have the people march around the city 6 times silently. And then on the 7th day, there was going to be 7 circles and a shout. But they had to march 6 times silently. And I just encourage us that many times in our life, that's the way the Lord works, right? He gives us the action steps. He gives us the plan. He gives us the blueprint. It's always found in his word. But rarely does he give us the precise time when we are going to see the breakthrough in our life, the healing in our body, the deliverance from the thing, the provision show up on the scene. So our part is the same, because here's the thing, Joshua knew the time frame, that how it was going to happen, but he did not tell the people. God does the same with us, right? And wouldn't we prefer to have an exact specific day and time when we would see the answer to the prayer? Wouldn't that bolster our faith to be able to hang on just one more day if we knew tomorrow was the day that the thing would come to pass, or we would see the answer to the prayer? And so let me just encourage you today that God is still in the business of calling us to just be faithful, to do the actions, to do the steps that he's calling us to. It would be easier to trust God if he gave us the day and time that we could be counting down the days as we wait for the job, for the spouse, come on somebody, for the healing, for the house, for whatever it is that you're trusting, believing, praying, hoping for to come to pass. But he oftentimes doesn't do this. So Lamentations 3 verse 26. And man, I love when the Holy Spirit does this. There's a theme to the day. There's something that God wants to speak to us today. Lamentations 3 verse 26 says, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And that's part of Joshua's prescription to the people, to march on those 6 days and not even to say a word. I'm grateful that it's God's word that we are reading and that is impacting our heart today, because I think if I wrote my translation, the Pastor T version, it would say this: it is hard to hope and wait quietly on the Lord. But the Bible says it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. So one of the reasons that this is hard for us is because in the Bible, there are two Greek words, two concepts for the word time. And there's only one English word that is translated the word time. But there are two concepts. There's the word chronos and there's the word kairos. And so chronos time is just time as we know it. It's seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months. It's how we relate to time, right? And it's how we prescribe our expectations of what God's gonna do in our life. Some of you had the expectation that you would already have the spouse in your life by this age in your life. Some of you had the idea that you would already have had the answer to the prayer. You would have already seen the deliverance. You would have already had the breakthrough by the chronos time that you prescribed in your heart, in your mind, in your expectations towards God. But God is not limited by chronos time. He's above and beyond chronos time. And so there's this other word, kairos time. And it's a, if chronos time is just the sequential measurable time, kairos time represents a divinely appointed, strategic, God-ordained moment in time. So some examples of chronos time, just the sequential order of time, John 7:33, Jesus said, I am with you only for a short time, short chronos. And then I'm going to the one who sent me, because Jesus was speaking about a time frame that could be measured. Acts 14:3, Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time, chronos, there, speaking boldly for the Lord. Kairos examples, Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the kairos time, at the proper time, your translation might say in due season, at just the right time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And so we are so oftentimes caught up in our definition and our expectation upon God for those things we're trusting and praying for in our context of chronos time. And God says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And I've got a God-appointed time. If you will continue to do what God has called you to do, keep marching silently, keep praying, keep hoping, keep forgiving, keep loving, keep giving, keep doing whatever it is that God has called you to do. And he hasn't given you an end date, the kairos time, the appointed time, the moment in time, God-ordained, divine timing that he's going to show up and do it. But if you will not grow weary, if you'll just take another silent circle around whatever walls still are standing in your life, there is a kairos, an appointed time, a due season where you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. Look at someone next to you and say, don't give up. Say, don't give up. Don't give up. You can't afford to give up. Keep trusting, keep praying, keep believing, and set yourself free from the burden of your expectations within chronos time. Because I'm just telling you, delay and disappointment, some of you have heard me say it before, are almost always God's protection and better plan connection. And how many of you can testify to that? There was something you thought shoulda, coulda, woulda happened by that date, that person, that job, that thing. And you look back and you say, "Ooh, thank God." That delay, that disappointment, that stung for a short while was actually God's protection and better plan connection. So anytime God delivers a dream, establishes a calling, extends a promise, he starts a process. And if you feel like you're in a process that God has you in your dream and your calling and your promise and your purpose, you are in good company. Moses caught God's heart to see the people of God delivered from the bondage at the hand of Pharaoh, and then had to spend 40 years in the wilderness being refined and prepared to step into his destiny. Joseph had a dream and a destiny, but before the palace were the pit and the prison. David anointed as a teen, but then spent nearly 20 years fleeing, running, being pursued, being chased down, patiently waiting for the day where God, by his mighty hand, would call him into his purpose and destiny. Mary, the Virgin Mary, a teenage Jewish girl visited by an angel and extended a promise, and then she had to wait. Can you imagine, ladies, what that would have been like? Never been with a man, I'm told I'm pregnant, and then you just begin to wait. Is there going to be a sign? When's the first day, do you think, that she felt that kick? She's beginning to see that she was showing. And even then, there was still a gestation period. Almost everything that God ordains and calls and purposes has a gestation period. Anytime he delivers a promise, a dream, a calling, a purpose, he starts a process. Even Jesus was not immune. This whole book prophesying and pointing to his arrival on the scene as Messiah. And yet he had to wait. And 400 years after the last part of the Old Testament was written, there was 400 years of silence until God said, now at the right time, at just the right time, the Bible says, it's time to go. And it's time to bring home your brothers and sisters in a way that only the blood of Jesus can do once for all. And by the way, even Jesus in his earthly ministry stepped out, I think at the age of 12, the Bible says, found in the house of God, preaching with great wisdom and fruitfulness and effectiveness. And Mary came to the temple and grabbed him by the ear and said, not yet, son, and took him, drug him back home. And for 18 years, he built tables and he built chairs and he built who knows what houses with hammers and nails in his hands, the very tools that would one day be used to pierce those same hands for your forgiveness and for your freedom. If you're in a process, if God's got you in a process, you're in good company. And you can't grow weary in doing good. Someone needs to hear me today at just the right kairos time, appointed time, divine time. Your healing, your breakthrough, your spouse, your house, your promise, your answer prayer is coming if we don't give up. Now turn to Joshua chapter 3. Before we get into Joshua chapter 3, allow me to pray. That's just a preview right there. Well, let's pray and let's get into Joshua chapter 3. Lord, we just come before you. We thank you for your goodness and faithfulness to us. We thank you, Lord, that you've seen us through, Lord, every time, every season, Lord, even the times where we've experienced delay, we've experienced disappointment, God, and we thank you that you are still faithful, Lord, to give your people a plan, Lord, to overcome the opposition, the challenges, the things that are standing in the way of what you have for us. He has a good plan, a hope-filled future for you, for your marriage, for your family. And so, Lord, thank you today that you would do the same thing. Speak to us, encourage us, strengthen us, remind us of some things, or reveal in us something fresh, something new from your word that will position and posture us, Lord, to do what we could do, to partner with you to do what only you could do. Cause those walls to come crashing down. And so, Lord, thank you for using an imperfect person, an imperfect message, Lord, to reveal the heart of a perfect good father and to speak uniquely and individually to every situation, to every circumstance. Lord, you see, you know, you care, God, beyond how I care for your people to hear, experience, receive everything you desire to do and be to them today. Lord, you care even more because these are your sons and daughters whom you love greatly. And so we invite you, Lord, come and speak to us today. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, all right, Joshua chapter 3, we're working kind of backwards in this story. Last week, we saw the walls come down. We saw God show himself faithful and strong. And so now we're going to look at some things that had to occur before they could get to that day of destiny, that moment of a miracle. And in Joshua chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1. In fact, we'll read the whole chapter today. Early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Acacia Grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. Sometimes you got to camp before you cross. And 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions and follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about a half mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the Ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves. Your translation might say, consecrate yourselves today. For tomorrow, the Lord will do great wonders among you. Reading on verse 6, it says, in the morning, Joshua said to the priest, lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river. And so they started out and went ahead of the people. The Lord told Joshua, today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites. They will know that I am with you just as I was with Moses. Give this command to the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop there. So Joshua told the Israelites, come and listen to what the Lord your God says. Today, verse 10, you will know that the living God is among you. He will surely drive out the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, Jebusites ahead of you. Some of you are waiting for my mosquito bites and cellulites joke right there. You only get to use that once a year. That's what they teach in pastor school. So, look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. Now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. The priests will carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth. And as soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream and the river will stand up like a wall. So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. And it was harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the Ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. And the water below that point flowed onto the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed. As the people passed by, they waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. What a powerful story, huh? So I want to encourage you, seven things that we're going to have to experience, we're going to have to embrace, we're going to have to realize, we're going to have to pursue, we're going to have to live out if we want to make it to the promised land, if we want to make it beyond the fortified cities, if we want to make it beyond the river that's in flood stage and make it to the promised land. Number one is that we have got to commit ourselves to pursue God's presence over our previous patterns and preferences. Verse 4 said, follow the ark, follow the presence of God, because you've never been this way before. I wonder who I'm preaching today, and you're going through something, you're up against something, and you've never been this way before. You've never suffered the loss that you've recently experienced. You've never had the challenges on all sides like you're experiencing today. You've never been this way before. We're going to have to be willing to embrace the new that God is calling us to, see his presence moving on our behalf. Isaiah 43:19 says this, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So here's another place I want to kind of work backwards through the scripture. That's the encouragement to watch that God's doing a new thing, because these were people who had previously in another generation seen the hand of Moses raise a staff and the Red Sea was parted, and with their earthly eyes, they saw the pathway to deliverance. And in this moment, in this day, in this hour, God's giving them a different plan. He's saying, today, you're gonna have to get your feet wet. Today, you're gonna have to take a few steps in the middle of the river, in the midst of the flood stage, before you see my mighty hand of deliverance. And so God says in Isaiah 43, see, I'm doing a new thing. And it springs up, will you perceive it? But let's work backwards. Verse 18 says, now forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. So we might think, most times if we read that, we would think, and it's rightfully so, it's a biblical concept, right? The Apostle Paul said, there's one thing that I do. I forget the past and I move on towards the future. And we tend to contextualize this with maybe mistakes or difficult or challenging seasons, to forget those things and move forward in faith. But now look at verse 16 and 17, which is the pretext to what we just heard. Forget the past, I'm doing something new. So the pretext to that encouragement is this. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together. And they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick when that Red Sea that was parted came crashing in. He says, the God that did that, he says, is about to do something new. So he says, forget about the previous way, the pattern, the day that I delivered you. There's something new. There's some fresh faith. There's a new pattern, and you're only going to discover it if you'll keep your eyes on me. And how many of us get caught up and fall into the trap of trusting that God's going to do it just the way he once did it before? Sometimes he will. But most times what I've learned is that he's doing something new. We serve a God who doesn't change, but is almost always looking and inviting us to experience something new. And you've heard me preach it before. To experience the more that God has in store, we have to say yes to the new that he's calling me to. In one season, Moses raised his staff. In this season, they were gonna have to get their feet wet. I wonder who I'm preaching to today, that there's one way that God delivered you, that God showed up on the scene in a previous chapter or a season in your life. And in this season, he's calling you to have fresh faith. He's not gonna use the same person. He's not gonna use the same pattern. You're gonna have to keep your eyes on him, following him, in step with him, his plans, his pattern, his timing, to see the breakthrough in this season. So number one, we're gonna have to pursue God's presence over any previous preference or pattern. Number two, we're gonna have to embrace calling over comfort. Calling over comfort. And in verse 3, it says, move out from your positions and follow them. Move out from your positions. And we could tend to get comfortable and complacent in our lives of faith, right? I mean, really, that's a risk that we run. I'm preaching to the choir. People are in church. You guys are in church. You love God. You're seeking God. And so the risk that we run is that we get just enough of God that we say, I'm good. and we get just enough of health and healing in our marriage, or God's providing for us in ways that we know are from him, and we get just enough of God, and we say, I'm good. But how many know that God says that he desires for us to go from strength to strength and from glory to glory? He's the God of greater things. He's the God of more. He said, greater things will you do because the Holy Spirit is in you than even Jesus himself did. He removed the lid of impossibilities from us. And so let's refuse to fall into the trap of complacency and comfort. Comfort and complacency are the enemies of destiny. And he said, you're gonna have to get up and you're gonna have to move out from your positions. And I'm here by the invitation of the Holy Spirit today to partner with him to call someone out of a place of comfort and complacency. What's that look like for you? To go beyond just coming to church and say, I'm gonna start to serve in my church. To go beyond Sundays and say, I'm gonna find a life group, a men's group. I'm gonna go beyond just listening to Pastor T preach the word on Sunday morning. And on Monday morning, I'm gonna be found with this book on my lap in a quiet place, asking the Lord to give me, like Luke said this morning, that daily bread that only the Lord can bring that strengthens us and is the only way we could truly and fully do and be everything that he has called you to do and be for that day. What's it look like for you? To break out of complacency and comfort, to get up and move out from your current position. Whatever he calls you to, would you just say yes? Say yes. Comfort and complacency are the enemies of destiny. Maybe he's calling you. I see Keith Napier right here. He's leading the charge and helping us through Project 320 to reinitiate global missions. Maybe that's a place where you got to get out of your comfortable position in the seats of this church and be sent to a place that God calls you to go and tell some people about Jesus and serve some people in his name. Maybe it's getting up out of this seat and being willing to come an hour and a half earlier than you normally come and show up and serve those kids to tell that next generation that there's a God who created them in his image on purpose for a purpose. And he wants to know them and he wants to walk with them and he wants to strengthen them. I'm stepping on some toes. My pastor used to say in Brownsville, if the shoe fits, just wear it. If you find yourself in a place of comfort and complacency, God has not called you to a casual, lukewarm Christianity, consumer-minded Christianity. He's called you to grow and be and become a dynamic, word-speaking, spirit-filled a prophesying man or woman of God over your spouse, in your house, in your church, in your workplace. Don't settle in a place of comfort or complacency. He said, get up and move out from your positions and start moving towards your miracle. Because it says in verse 14, the people responded. They got up, they left camp, they began to move forward towards the river that was raging. And God has rather uniquely renamed our church using a verb, the verb rev, which means to spur, to stir, anticipation and activity in advance of, in anticipation of a coming event. And one of the reasons I believe he sovereignly did that through our eldership a few years ago is he's calling us to be an active people of faith, to get moving with him, to be on mission with him. And Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus says, who do people say that I am? They said, some people say you're a prophet. Some people say you're a good man. Who do you say that I am? And it's the most important question that we answer. The answer that we give reverberates throughout all eternity. And some of you at the end of today's service will have the opportunity to answer that for yourself. Is he a religious figure or is he your personal Lord and Savior? Peter answered and said, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God, you're the Messiah, you're the one that God sent. And Jesus said, you've answered well. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father revealed this to you. And he said, I call you Peter, Petros, and on this rock. And we know Peter was not the rock. The rock was the revelation that Peter had because Peter was up one day and down the next, right? It says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I have never seen gates on the move. Gates are static, and here's what it means to us. The church was not intended to be built for bingo nights and spaghetti suppers. Nothing wrong with those things. If you call one, invite me to it. The church was built to be an active, mobilized force preaching the good news, which is that God loves people just the way that they are, but he loves them too much to leave them where they are. He sent Jesus to rescue, restore, redeem, and reconcile them back to a relationship with their good Heavenly Father. Someone ought to say amen. That's what you're part of. This active, advancing, forward moving, we were never intended to be us for no more holier than thou, stuck behind the walls of a church building, huddled. This is an epicenter for revival. This is a place where we come to get stirred up in our most holy faith. This is a place where we come to fellowship with other believers. This is a place where we come to be encouraged, to receive prayer at the end of this message, down at the front of this altar. This is a place where we come to hear the sound of all the saints unifying and worshiping our great God. This is a place where we come to receive the prophetic word, to see the impartation of God's word, to equip us and strengthen us to go and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Wherever God has called you, the people left their camp. They were moving towards their miracle. Number four, verse 5 says, purify, consecrate yourselves. For tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. We have to realize, if we're going to make it to our personal promised land, whatever it is that God's promised you, that today's decisions determine tomorrow's destiny. He said, consecrate yourselves today. For tomorrow the Lord's going to do something awesome in your life. And so often we procrastinate or presume we'll have another day to get right with God, to say yes to what he's calling us to say no to some things maybe he's calling you to say no to, some patterns, some mindsets, some behaviors, some relationships, to become prepared for God's purpose. Consecrate yourselves. The Hebrew word for consecrate is kadosh, and it means to be set apart, to be made holy, to be purified, to be dedicated exclusively to God. To be set apart, to be separated from common use and dedicated to a holy purpose. That's what God has called you to as a Christ follower. To be made holy, to be treated as sacred, not ordinary, not casual, not common, not to be handled trivially or lightly. Three concepts of consecration: separation, purification, and dedication. To become separate from some things, to not live with one foot on each side of the fence, to purify ourselves, to repent before the Lord when we stumble or fall, and to ask him to wash us and cleanse us, not just one time, but every time. A righteous person stumbles 7 times, they get back up, they keep moving. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Every morning, get with the Lord and say, Lord, would you give me clean hands? Would you give me a pure heart? Would you wash me today? But you cleanse me today, and I dedicate. That's the third concept: separation, purification, dedication. And I dedicate myself to you. All the things that the world says I should be about to be deemed a success or seen as significant pale in comparison to what you invite me to do, partner with you to build your kingdom, to further your gospel, one precious person at a time. Today's decisions determine tomorrow's destiny. Don't procrastinate or presume. That's the enemy's playground. Procrastination or presumption that one day or someday you'll have the opportunity to say yes, you'll have the opportunity to express or receive the forgiveness, you'll have the opportunity to lay down the thing and begin to pick up the thing that God has called you to. So today's decisions determine tomorrow's destiny. What is God calling you to today that maybe you've been putting off? And today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, there's gonna be a fresh grace and a fresh determination and a quality decision to say yes to God, to become set apart, to consecrate and purify yourselves for what God desires to do in your life. If we're gonna experience the promised land that God has for us, number 5, we're gonna have to understand that two things can be true at once. We could be fruitful and frustrated. It says that the Jordan was at flood stage all during harvest. Would you think about this for a moment? It's saying that this was harvest season. This was a moment where there was abundance. They were reaping in the places where they had sown, and yet at the same time, the season of harvest was unfolding in their life. There was this opposition of this roaring river, of this thing that was keeping them or preventing them, or so they thought, according to their earthly eyes, from making it to the things that God has for them. And it's what we find to be true inevitably in our lives of faith. And it's important that we recognize this so that we can recognize and kind of compartmentalize these things and take the approach that God would have us to. Inevitably, in every season of our life, there are going to be some places where we're walking in the blessing of God. And in that same moment of time where we're experiencing the blessing of God, we might have some burdens that we're facing over here. We might have some successes here and some struggles over here. We might have some triumphs over here and some trials over here. You could be doing well at work, getting the promotion, receiving the favor, but when you go home, there's some problems in your marriage. And so why is this important that we recognize this? So that we don't allow the enemy to convince us that everything is going wrong in our lives. And so when you have a place in your life where God's providing, where he's delivering, where he's blessing you, thank him and praise him. And at the same time, in the place where you have a challenge, an opposition, a burden, a struggle, seek him. Invite him into that situation and trust him. I promise you that if you'll think hard enough and long enough, even though you got the real problems, you got some things to be thankful for. There's some places where you could say, there's some harvest, there's some things that I'm reaping that God's doing for me and through me in spite of me. And so in that place, I'm gonna say, thank you, Jesus. And then in a place where I got the real problems, I'm gonna say, Lord, I'm grateful for what you're doing over here, but I got something. I've got something I need you to show up in my life. So realize as you're making progress towards the promise land for you, there are gonna be seasons where you're in a harvest and you're in a flood. You're fruitful, yet you're frustrated. In those places that you have the blessing of God, praise him. In the areas where you have the battle, seek him, acknowledge him, invite him, and trust him. And can I encourage you today, would you really trust him? I love what Pastor Richard said a few weeks ago. He said that the Lord kind of challenged him, convicted him about some things. And he said, well, Lord, I've committed those things to you. And he said, yeah, you've committed them to me, but you haven't surrendered them to me. You haven't released them to me. You're still trying to strive and do things with your own hands, maybe applying that preference or previous pattern that God maybe once did to show himself faithful to you. And he's saying, in this season, would you fully trust it to me? Would you fully look to me and invite me in? So understand, embrace on your journey, as you're making progress towards your promise, there's gonna be some seasons where you're fruitful and frustrated in a harvest and in a flood. Number six, you're gonna have to realize that God is in your steps and your stops. I preached on this a few months ago, but I saw it again as I was rereading the book of Joshua. Watch this. Verse 8, give this command to the priest who carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop. Take a few steps and stop. God is in your steps and your stops. And I encourage us with this often for a reason. That God's word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Because what God is asking you today is just take your next step. What's the most important step in the progress towards the promised land? It's always the next step. And the enemy likes to come and he likes to convince us that we're too late and too far gone or too lost to really be able to get there. And God says, I'm just calling you to take a few steps. One time I heard a guy, someone said, how many youth are you running in your youth group? And he said, well, we're not running any. We're walking with about 80 kids. And I understand there's a race that we run in faith, but I'm telling you that most times we are walking one step of obedience and faithfulness after the other. The pathway to your life vision is paved with daily decision, steps of faith. And he said to the priest, take a few steps. take a few steps. Just take a step. Who am I preaching to today that you bought into that lie? That the marriage is too far lost or too far gone, that you are too far from God, for God to save you and rescue you and fill you with the Spirit and empower you and use you. And today, I'm here to remind you that Zechariah 4:10 says, "Do not despise the day of small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." The Lord rejoices to see the work begin. And you feel like it's too late for me to maybe pursue maybe getting healthy in my physical body or that relationship to be restored. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. One daily decision of obedience that the Lord puts on your heart. And then tomorrow just say, okay, now what's today's step? And just watch how daily decision of honoring and following the presence of God over previous patterns and preferences will deliver you to the promised land God has for you. Take a few steps and then stop. And I'll close right here. God's in your steps and your stops. And this for me has, I think, just become a theme in this season and even in this service, right? I'm gonna wait on you. In the waiting, God is working. It is good for one to hope and wait quietly for the deliverance of the Lord. And who today does this speak to? You're striving, you're straining. Like those disciples who were rowing against the winds and the waves. And Jesus today wants to come and just say, would you allow me to speak? Would you allow me to calm those winds and waves so that you can make it through and make it to what I have for you? Be still, Psalm 37, verse 7, in the presence of the Lord. Wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Be still in the presence of the Lord. Wait patiently for God to act. And I'll close right here. We won't always see. If we're going to make it to the promised land that God has for you, he has for me, we have to understand we're not always going to be able to immediately see the hand of God moving on our behalf. We read about it. In verse 15 and verse 16 of Joshua 3, as soon as the feet of the priests were carrying the ark touched the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. A great distance away. Hey, priests, take a few steps and then stop. As soon as their feet stepped into the water, something began to happen. But have you ever caught this? I've never leaned into this angle as I preached through this chapter before, that what God was doing as they stepped in faithfulness and obedience to do their part, to put their feet, to get their feet wet, actually was occurring a great distance away in a place that there's no way they could see it with their earthly eyes. How do you know? Because we know now that that place called Adam was 20 miles away from where the people crossed the River Jordan. They couldn't see it. And today I'm telling you, there's a step that God's called you to take, and you're gonna have to understand when you take that step, there's a good likelihood that what that's initiating in the spiritual atmosphere over your life, over your marriage, over your family, over the provision that you're trusting for is going to begin a great distance away. God's working upstream in your life. And will you have the patience to take those steps and then just stop? I don't know how long. This is another place where it doesn't tell us how long it was gonna take for all that water that began to wall up 20 miles away to fully make its way through where they could cross on dry ground. But I'm telling you today that just because you cannot see what God's doing, he's working in unseen places. We live by faith, not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5. Faith is the confidence that we hope for and assurance about things that we do not see. So keep praying, keep stepping, keep trusting. Your prayers and your obedience are moving the hand and heart of God upstream in the places that are unseen. If you believe it, give the Lord some praise. And then stand to your feet today. And as you stand to your feet, do what has become the custom in this house. Ask the Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me today? Lord, what are you speaking to me today? Make it personal. And then would you really listen? Maybe someone, he's calling you out of that place of comfort and complacency. He's calling you to an active life of faith, to really live out what you believe. Maybe some of you, he's calling you to consecrate, purify yourselves today for the great thing he has in his heart for you tomorrow. Maybe some of you today, he's calling you to forget the former things, even the good things that God did in your life, because you're so caught up and hung up on that previous thing that you're at the risk of missing something new that God is inviting you to and the more that he has in store for you. Whatever it is, man, listen and grab a hold of it today. Some of you, he's calling you to take that step. You've had your marching orders for a good while and you've been procrastinating and presuming that someday or one day when it's more convenient or when there's an invitation, when God makes it abundantly clear and plain. And today he's saying, today's the day. Don't procrastinate, don't presume, prioritize and pursue. Take the step. But Pastor T, the river's at flood stage. Take the step. And trust that the step of faith and obedience is gonna move the hand and move the heart of God upstream in unseen places. I'm telling you, people of God, you can't see it. Keep praying, keep trusting, keep believing, keep inviting the Lord into your circumstances. I mentioned it earlier, there's some of you in this room or joining online and you're trusting God for a spouse. Can I tell you his delay? His delay is his protection and his better plan connection, I promise you. And he's working upstream in his or her life. And if you don't get tired of doing what's good, staying pure before the Lord, keeping God first, not compromising, at just the right time, the Kairos time in your life, he'll bring her, he'll bring him into your life. If you don't give up. If you don't give up. For some of you today, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, people just continue to just listen to what the Lord's speaking to you. For some of you, this is your Kairos time, your appointed time, your day of salvation. This is not just a normal Sunday for you. This is your Kairos time to get right with God. This is your Kairos time to say yes to the free gift of salvation. That's the language of the Bible. It's a free gift. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. You don't get good to get God. He comes right now into your circumstances, your situation, and he offers you the free gift that we receive by faith, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God. Or maybe you're here joining us online and you once knew God, loved God, maybe even served God. But today, if you were honest with yourself, you're far from God for whatever reason. Got caught up with those cares and concerns of the world, got swept up with the wrong crowd, and today you're far from God. And if that's you, Jesus told a parable, just a story about someone like you. When he told that parable of the prodigal son, the wayward one who went to his earthly father, said, "Give me what's mine." And he went and lived in the world. And like is inevitably true for many of us who have tried that, he found himself at the end of himself, the end of his funds, the end of his so-called friends. And the Bible says it this way, he came to his senses. He came to his senses. And here's what he thought, maybe I can go back home. And maybe, just maybe, my father will welcome me home, even if just as a servant and not a son. And so it says, after coming to his senses, he got up and he began that journey. And as Jesus tells the story, he says, the father saw that wayward one from a long way off. And here's why that's important to you today, if that's you today, far from God. Because it tells us that the Lord has always been looking for, longing for, eagerly anticipating this moment where you come to your senses and you get up and just begin that journey, because the rest of the story unfolds like this. The father runs to embrace, to welcome, and to restore that wayward one back to his royal family, and not just as a servant, but fully restored as a son or a daughter. So here's what I want you to do. If you're in either one of those camps or anywhere in between, and it's to take a step. It's to take a step today. And here's the step that I want to ask you to take. And it's this: to lift your hand as an outward sign of this inward work that God's doing in your heart. Lift your hand as high, as fast, as far as you can towards your Heavenly Father. You are not responding to a person or a preacher. You're responding to your Heavenly Father, who sees you, who knows you by name, who has been with you in every trial and every storm. And today is giving you that free gift. Today is welcoming you home with open arms and restoring you back as a son or a daughter. Restoring you completely forgiven, healed, restored, renewed, and reconciled back to him. Every sin fully paid for, cleansed, and washed away as far as the east is from the west. If you raise your hand, you can lower it. And there's a second step we're gonna ask you to take, and it's to pray a prayer, but we are not going to ask you to pray it alone. As you pray it, you're gonna hear the sound of this entire church family praying it with you. And it's the first way of many, many, many ways we'll come alongside you and support you in your journey with Jesus, if you'll let us. So come on, church family, with a good number of amazing people who said yes to that free gift or came back into the loving arms of a good Heavenly Father, let's pray this with some fresh boldness today. Say, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I recognize my need for a Savior, and I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price that I can never pay, to make a way that I might have a new life and a fresh start. I give you my life. I give you my trust. And because of Jesus, come on, say it loudly, I will never be the same, and then rejoice with all of heaven. Come on, let's worship the Lord one more time.